One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Baltimore, I'm coming home. We're going to wrap the Live and Alive tour up Saturday, June 28th at the Horseshoe Casino. It's going to be a great night. I got Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock going to be out there with me. We're going to have some surprises. It's going to be a really big deal. Get your tickets now at RyanSickler.com. What's up, guys? Thank you for supporting the Patreon. We promised you guys some bonus content. We wanted to get you involved on the new tier. And after the Chelsea Lynn haircut thing, we were laughing so damn hard.
Oh, God! Okay.
Hold on. That's you?
Where the fuck did you get this? This is my Chris Farley era.
Kirsten and I started talking about it, and we were like, why don't we ask people to send in their worst haircuts? And I'm not going to leave you alone. All right, I got two of them for you. How about this one and this one? There you go. Those are mine. We'll clown them on the show. But submit your bad haircuts or your worst haircuts to thewaybackpod@gmail.com. That's thewaybackpod@gmail.com. Send your name and any information you have, what year it's from, where you're from at the time, whatever. We'll show the pictures. We'll have fun making fun of all our worst haircuts.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Thank you guys for supporting this show. Thank you for supporting anything I do. All right. Make sure you're watching The Way Back as well. We got two great shows for free right here on this channel. Check them all out. Support everything. All right. That's the biz. You guys know what we're doing here. We're highlighting the lowlights. I always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest on with me today here. First time on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Weber. Welcome to the Honeydew, Aaron Weber.
Excited to be here, man. This is where I throw some stuff out there. I plug some stuff right here. Didn't you say right away?
You did. You did.
I was afraid to just go right into it, and you'd be like, what are you doing? So I just got
to. I'll lead you to okay. it. I promise.
Okay. My bad.
Could you imagine if I was like, Aaron Weber? You're like, follow me on all social media.
That's what I was about to do. But I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to. I've never met you before. Yeah, it's nice to meet you. Turns out I do know your wife, Zanies. I had no idea you two, the two and two, because we were talking about what we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And now I actually know the lady.
Yeah.
Who were, yeah.
You got some context for
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So it was nice to say hello to her. What's up, Lucy? Nice to say to her before the show.
She doesn't watch anything I'm on.
Oh.
I'm kidding. She'll watch
all
this.
Right. Well, before we get into your story.
Yeah.
Right there, brother. Plug it all.
AaronWeberComedy.com is my MySpace page. I got all my tour dates on there. You can check that out. I'm going all over the country in 2025. I'm going to be going to a lot of clubs I've never been to, and pretty exciting. At Real Aaron Weber on everything. You can hear me every week on the Nateland podcast. And I have a special out now on YouTube called Signature Dish. 30 minutes, half hour. Just go, you know, put it on while you do the dishes. That's it.
All right.
I kind of trailed off there at the end. I came in.
You did good.
I had a good energy up top. And then it faded out quick.
You did good. You're also trying to remember everything, too. Like a lot of people are going through that Rolodex, and you have a different tone when you're thinking and talking than just fucking spitting it out.
Yeah.
You did good, bro.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it.
Let's get into, first of all, your background. Where are you from originally?
Montgomery, Alabama.
Montgomery. You're from the real South.
From the real South, yeah.
So, but here's the thing. You don't have the deep Southern accent.
Okay.
To my ear, you don't. But depending also, people tell me I sound like I'm from the South all the time. I'm like, because you've never met someone or spoken to someone from the South.
You do have a little bit of.
I have a drawl.
I remember years ago listening to you going, I got to find out where he's at because it might be something. You don't sound like you're from New York or L.A. is what I'm saying.
No, I'm from Maryland.
And that's a good thing, yeah. I think. Yeah. Well, depending on where I am, people will go, you have thick accent. And then like in Nashville or Montgomery, I don't know at all.
At all.
Because neither of my parents do. I think that's where
you
pick it up from.
Where are they from originally?
My dad's from Mobile, Alabama. And my mom grew up in Montgomery. So they're both,
right.
Deep South Alabama.
Yeah, Alabamans.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
About as Alabama as you can get, I think. And then I moved to Nashville when I was in high school, and I've just stuck around since. So my whole family's gone. They've all spread out now, but I'm still in
Nashville. How many siblings?
I got an older brother and an older sister, and then a younger brother. So I'm the middle of four.
Okay.
For a big Catholic family. I think I have – I was just looking at this. I think I have like 48 first cousins, which I think is pretty high.
How many – well, then you also got to have at least a – I mean, unless one aunt or uncle went ham over there. Like, you got to have a good set of siblings.
Yeah, my mom's one of seven. My dad's one of five.
Damn.
And they've all got kids. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are you all close? Like, was everyone down that area when you grew up?
They were all pretty close. And then as we've gotten older, we've all spread out a little bit. Even my siblings are all across the country now. They're in – Tucson, Arizona, Columbus, Ohio, and Dallas, Texas. So,
but your parents, are they still together?
Parents are still together.
And they're still in Alabama?
They're in Dallas now. Okay. They've been moving around. They're about to celebrate their 40th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So they've been
good
together
for them.
Forever, man. But yeah, 48 first cousins. I was just thinking, I didn't even register to me that that's like a high number.
That's one, almost one a state, bro.
Yeah.
You got the continental U.S. covered, dude. You got the continental U.S. covered, bro.
That's crazy. Yeah, because we were doing, when we were like doing like the guest list for our wedding.
Holy shit.
It was like my wife, I think, I don't know, like maybe 10 first cousins. And then I counted out almost 50. She's like, what is going on, dude? So,
yeah, what do you do in that situation? Do you have to invite everyone or you have to tell everyone, look, man, you all have to. You'll get there one day and you'll understand.
Yeah.
These budgetary things are going on here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Y'all can zoom in. You can zoom in.
I think a lot of people did zoom in. Because that was 2021. People are still
you
zooming in.
You can do that now, though. Yeah, I'll zoom in. Fuck that. Yeah, no more. I'm done with your
I talked
your
to a doctor.
Exotic wedding and shit. I'm zooming, bro.
I zoomed a doctor yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I broke my toe this week.
Telehealth?
Telehealth. I'd never done that. Yeah. It's just a guy just talking to me.
And what did he? How the hell is he tell? But see, these are the things. On. Like I can get if you're saying like I'm congested or whatever.
Yeah.
But if they need to put hands on you,
well, I needed somebody to go. You need to go get hands put on you because I would have felt dumb if I don't know. I got like an infection and I died because I didn't have a doctor look at it. So I'm literally with my laptop, like holding my foot up to the camera. Some old man, he goes, yeah, it looks fine, man. You're I felt like such a He goes, yeah.
Tape it up. Old man. That's what an old doctor would say.
He goes, yeah, it's going to be, there's nothing you can do. Just deal with it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, thanks, man. That's all I needed
Could
to hear.
Could be in a pussy. All right, next.
Exactly.
Yep, ice it. Next, mm-hmm. Old dude.
Yes.
Okay, so you mentioned you split high school to Nashville.
Yeah, between my sophomore and junior year of high school.
Why are you going?
So my dad is a high school principal.
Oh, okay,
that's been his job my whole life.
Real quick, what did mom do?
She's a teacher.
Okay, is that how they met?
Yes,
that sounds like.
So my dad, my dad was got his master's degree and he was going to go get his doctorate, and somebody recommended, you know, go teach at a high school for a year or two and then go back and get your doctorate. So he took a job at a Catholic high school in Montgomery, Alabama, because it was close to where his parents lived. And my mom was a teacher there. And they met and they got engaged within 2 months and then got married. And he stuck around for almost 30 years after that.
At that school?
At that same school. Yeah, never went back and got his doctorate.
I was going to ask that even.
No, he met my mom and he was like, all right, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he got a job at a different high school up in Nashville. I did not want to move. Nobody wants to move in the middle of high school.
Okay, so the whole family's going.
The whole family.
Okay, I didn't realize.
Yeah, my
that.
Bad. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, okay.
It was like, yeah, that was when I was 16. So
okay.
You're just doing whatever your parents are telling you to do. So moved up there, did the last 2 years of high school in Nashville, and then I'm still there and everybody's gone. It's so funny. God put up such a a fuss about moving, and now I'm the only one still there.
And they're all over the place.
They're all over the place. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, and now recently, what, 6 months, 8 months ago, you become a dad?
Almost 6 months. Six months ago. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Appreciate it, man.
Crazy it's, bringing a person into this world.
It's so funny. All the things you hear before you have kids that sound so cliche and lame, they all make sense. Like, I remember hearing the days are long, but the years are short. And then it's like, even just saying 6 months now, it's like, it's crazy. It's been almost half a year.
My daughter's 10 and I'm telling you,
wow,
you know,
yeah.
That's the other thing I hear a lot. If you really want to appreciate the passing of time, have a child.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, shit, it's 10 years already.
Uh-huh.
I was just sitting next to her in the car the other day. I let her sit in the driver's seat and I sat in the passenger seat and I looked over and I was like, this is going to be happening for real in 10 seconds. And I just play around. I'm like, I do that shit.
She's like, shut up, Dad. Yeah, I can't even imagine that, dude. That feels like, I'll see like a.
It feels like 300 years away.
A 1 or 2 year old. And I'm like, that kid's enormous. My daughter will never be that big. Mm-hmm. She'll never be that old. But it's coming, man.
So talk to me about what happened with the birth and everything.
Yeah, so. It's interesting watching the special that I just put out. There was so much going on at the moment I recorded that it's kind of fun to watch. So what happened was the morning we were recording my special, which we taped at Zany's in Nashville, we had a routine ultrasound at our OBGYN. I think that's what it mm-hmm. OBG. Yeah, the doctor. And baby wasn't moving in the ultrasound.
And how far along are you at this point?
We're supposed to have about another month.
So you're way into the pregnancy.
Yeah, we're way, yeah, eight okay. months. And the baby had been measuring small the whole time. She was in like the 1 or 2 percentile and everything. We're like, it's just going to be a small baby. When she gets out, she'll start growing. We'll catch her up, right? But we went in for that routine ultrasound, and they couldn't find the baby with a heartbeat monitor or a movement detector. So then we did an ultrasound and the baby's just still and they're trying to get it to move and it's not moving. So I was like,
Are you in the room for this?
I'm in the room with my wife. Yeah.
Do you sense a little bit of panic from them or?
Well, you start
or
to.
Are they speaking out loud? Are they saying this so you know what's going on?
She did a good job. I wish I remembered her name because she was so great our whole pregnancy. But she did a really good job narrating it in a way that we weren't really panicking. She was like, we're just trying to get her to move. We were playing music on her stomach, couldn't get her to move. So our doctor comes in and goes, listen, we can't detect movement on this. So we're going to have to deliver the baby right now. We're going to have to go to Vanderbilt Hospital. Downtown, we're going to go deliver the baby.
Because the fear is
they thought maybe the placenta was no longer working. The baby's not growing and it's not moving. So they're like.
And they don't sense a heartbeat?
They can detect the heartbeat, but it's the baby's not moving. They can't. It's not moving at all. So I'm sorry. I should have made that clear. She's alive, but just not.
I was worried that they were thinking she might not be. And maybe that's why they got to get her out.
I was thinking all that stuff.
Oh, man, that's all totally. I'd be thinking. I'm already thinking. It's not even my situation. I'm already there. Like, what's going on?
So it's Bruce. So I remember going very selfishly. I'm like, all right, we're delivering the baby. I'm like, I'm recording a special tonight. So I got to figure out what to do with that, right? But I go, let's go make sure this is happening before I cancel everything. Because this is like 8 or 9 in the morning. So we head down to Vanderbilt and they came in with this device that like sends acoustic waves through the stomach and that woke the baby up and the baby's moving. So we're like, okay. But now I got it. My wife's
out. Isn't it crazy that they have that?
I know. Thing? Like what a crazy device somebody invented.
How did anyone survive in the wagon wheel days?
No, exactly.
How?
Exactly. I thought about that a lot through this whole process.
Right. Me too. When we had our baby, I'm like, how did they ever do this
shit? Well, they didn't. I think a lot of them just died.
Or they're dying at like 22. Exactly. And that's old age.
That's an old man at 22. So my wife's at the hospital. And I left my wife at the hospital to go record the special.
You did.
That day.
Was she okay with it?
She was, here's what happened. She was bummed because she was excited to be there. She ended up getting discharged between the two shows, and she surprised me at the club. She came right from the hospital. Yeah, so it was just so much going on. But I watched the special, and there's like a section of it where I talk a little bit about the baby that's coming. But what you don't know is I'm on stage thinking, like, I could be having this baby I have no idea. This baby could be while I'm on stage, I could be having the baby. So it looks almost like a different person telling all those stories. But that's why all that was happening. Anyway, it all ended up being good that happened because of that.
I'm sorry, can I just ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What was it? Did they tell you why the baby wasn't moving? Or
so my wife had pretty crazy pregnancy. Towards the end, she had two things going on. She had gestational diabetes, which means she couldn't eat anything she wanted to eat the whole pregnancy. And she had something called polyhydramnios. She had high fluid level because the baby was not swallowing the amniotic fluid. So Lucy, my wife, presented as like a month or two more pregnant than she actually was because she had a surplus of amniotic fluid. So there's just a lot going on. We don't have a diagnosis or anything. We're just like, let's just get the baby out and we'll take a look. But because all that happened, that forced us to have the baby at Vanderbilt, which is like the best hospital in the state of Tennessee. So we're all really lucky that happened because she was at Vanderbilt. That's where the NICU was, and that's where she spent the first month of her life, was there at Vanderbilt. So it's all good that we did it there.
Yeah. How much longer after that incident does your baby come into the world?
2 or 3 weeks.
Naturally at that point then?
No. Well, they ended up doing a C-section.
I apologize for asking that way. I don't mean
naturally.
I just mean they didn't have to induce or anything because of this incident. Like they weren't saying, hey, we got to get her out of there earlier.
I'm trying to remember.
Or it's just like this Lucy was so went recent. Contractions and then like, all right, we got to go.
I think we did end up. Yeah, I think we ended up inducing a little, like a week or two early because they just recommended we should do that. Sorry, a lot of this is, I haven't really talked about this stuff publicly. So I'd like, I'm trying to get the timeline of everything in my head together. But the birth process was brutal for my wife, dude. We kept losing the baby on the monitor and then have to come in and like rotate her. So that
inside?
We could hear
them.
Yeah.
Because where the fuck's she going in there?
For real.
Dude. How are they losing her?
They got these heartbeat monitors and then they would stop. And so a nurse would come in and go, let's just turn her. And then it come back. And then once it didn't come back and they hit some magic button. I remember it was like 3 a.m. They hit some magic button, like the Avengers showed up, like 40 doctors just like,
is that right?
Swarmed in. Because they couldn't get the heartbeat
How
back.
How terrifying is that?
Oh, it was like, I was like, what is happening right now? God, it was such a blur. It was, my wife was in labor, I think almost 30 hours of just like continuous, just like brutal pain.
God.
And I'm just there feeling as helpless as you can possibly feel. Right?
I've always said that too after that. You ever want to feel like less than nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Like you think you're a fucking man and you matter? Watch a woman have a baby.
Yes.
You don't even need to be there. Yeah. You don't matter at all.
Uh-huh. And it's all, I don't know if this is common, every hospital, it was all women in there. All nurses, doctors, everybody. It's all women. And I just feel like an idiot just in the way, just standing in the corner, you know. But we ended up doing a C-section. We had the baby. It was awesome. It's awesome. It's still awesome. That night, so we had the baby back in our room, and my in-laws are there, and it's all great. And then that night, I look at her, and she's kind of like blue in the face. I was like, oh, God. I think she's like cold or something. So nurse comes in. They take her to the nursery. They can't really warm her up. So they take her to the NICU. And that's just like a phrase you don't want to hear, right? The NICU. But she's there. So they determine she has something called hypotonia, which is like low muscle tone. Basically, she's just laying there. Like no muscle strength, no flailing around, just kind of. Ragdoll syndrome is what it's referred to.
Is that right?
Sounds kind of brutal when it put it like that. But yeah, she's got a little bit of, she's moving around a little bit, but she's not like she's supposed to, right? So they put her in the NICU. because she can't breastfeed or take a bottle because she's got no strength in her neck, right? She can't suck or swallow or anything. So they have to get an NG tube. They put it down her nose, and that's how we had to feed her for a long time. So she ended up being – we weren't able to take her home until we could feed her on our own, obviously. Like, so, yeah, it was, I think, 24 days in the NICU before we were able to bring her home. So it was tough, dude. That first night leaving the hospital.
That's what I want to ask
without you. Your kid. Yeah. It was awful, man.
For men, dealing with ED can be uncomfortable, which is why Hims provides access to a comfortable solution with an all online process and personalized treatment options. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing you with access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to a range of doctor trusted ED treatments like chewable tablets, Viagra, and Cialis, and their generics for up to 95% less. The process is 100% online, so there's no need for uncomfortable doctor's visits. Just fill out an intake form on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. With hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, Hims can help you find the ED option that works for you. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/honeydew. That's Hims.com/honeydew for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/honeydew. The featured products include compounded products, which are not approved nor verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality by the FDA. Prescription required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Now, let's get back to the do.
So my wife had the C-section, so she's in the hospital recovering from that, right?
That's what I want to ask. So yeah. You go home by yourself. That first night?
I did a couple runs to like get stuff from the house, mm-hmm. but I didn't do a night away from the hospital for a while.
But once Lucy's ready to go home, they basically are like, you guys got to go. Baby stays here.
Exactly.
And you both together go home? Yeah. Tell me what that is.
Yeah, you get in the car and the car seat's there empty.
Oh, brutal. Yeah,
dude, it was awful, man. It was awful. Then you get home and you're like, I mean, we did like a little photo shoot at the house before we left, like last day without the baby. And now we're back, you know, without the baby still. So that was probably the toughest stretch, was like all the days after that, waking up in the morning, just driving to the hospital, staying there all day, and then just driving back. And then you're so just home without
the
baby.
What are the hours? What are you allowed to get there and?
We're the parents. We can be there 24/7.
Okay.
So, but we ended up by the end of it, we were leaving at like 7 or 8 p.m. and driving home, and then getting there first thing in the morning. So it was a tough stretch.
How long is your daughter in the NICU when you guys finally go home? Like how long? I think you have to do this.
Yeah, 23 days before we're able to take her home. One thing being in the NICU for that long will do, and I'm realizing that just talking about this out loud, is it really puts your suffering in perspective, because as tough as it was for us, it's like we saw so many horrible things in there. Like very early on, I walked out in the hallway to use the bathroom and a baby had just died and they were walking it with the parents through the hallway. Oh. And I'm just standing there and I'm like, this is the same part of the hospital my kid's at. Like that was jarring to see. And some of the babies that we'd share rooms with, you know, we go over and look at them and read their write up and be like, oh my God, this is terrible, dude. Now we were also lucky, you know, I don't have a real job. I'm a comic. And my wife, I have a made up job. So I can just be there, that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And,
dude. Well, no one's dependent on us for shit.
Yeah.
We don't need to be anywhere today.
No. I'm the least essential worker of all time.
And you're a dude in that hospital. Yeah. They fucking hate you, bro. They fucking hate you. They go home at night and shit on you, dude. Like, this fucking guy in there. This
guy's doing nothing.
Professional clown.
Yeah.
So it was, but dude, I was, you know, at first I was very naively, I was kind of judgmental of these other parents, these babies just in these rooms. And I'm like, they never even show up to, where are these parents at? And then you realize, dude, a lot of them live hours away and the baby's been in there 6 months. And like at a certain point, they got to go back to work, mm-hmm. you know? So I started to be less judgmental of those parents once you realize that's going on. So all of that, having all that going around is like you start to really be appreciative of the little – I was like, okay, nothing our daughter ever had was super life-threatening. There was never like our daughter's about to die. She was never on an oxygen tank or anything like that. Never had to have heart surgery. All these babies around us are having all this. So that really put everything into perspective. Now, it was tough not being able to take her home. And it's still, you know, we still got a lot of stuff that we're waiting to figure out. We got some testing that we're waiting to hear back. We really don't know what the underlying cause of all this is. So that's another struggle. It's just the not knowing what the deal
is. The waiting and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
What about, have they said, like, I know the NICUs are amazing these days. Like,
yeah.
They're so incredible.
Yeah.
Are there any... Have they said, hey, you might want to watch out for this or any of this down the line? Is she, where is she in her height and weight percentile and all that?
Yeah, she was one percentile in weight, one percentile in height.
Listen, I have a kid and I still don't understand what the fuck that means. And I talk to her pediatrician and she tells me, and I look at her, and I go, it still doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
1%, what does that mean? There's for her, what? What do we categorize?
For her age.
For her age, only 1% of the babies her age are that weight?
Or smaller.
Or smaller.
Yeah. So okay. 99% of babies are bigger than her.
And how much are we talking about? How much smaller? Is it significant?
I think early on you're talking about a pound or two. Mm-hmm. So it's not like she was a pound. I mean, she was 5 pounds when she was born, but wasn't growing that much.
And did she grow in the NICU enough?
She started to grow. After we figured out how to feed her,
right.
She started to really grow.
Yeah.
So we ended up getting what's called a G-tube. We made the choice to have the surgery. She's got a little button in her stomach that just goes right into her stomach.
And now still?
Yeah.
No.
They make you leave it in for at least a year.
It comes out?
Yeah, yeah. I can take it out. If you see it, they told me. I haven't been. But they tell me if you go to like a kid's pool, public pool, you'll see some kids. It looks like a different belly button.
The last thing you and I need to be doing is going to a kid's public pool and squinting anywhere near their belly button. It's the last thing we need to be doing.
Look, don't go looking for it.
You know, if you go to a public pool to look for one of these, like squinting across the way, right above the waistline. Like,
yeah.
So what? It looks like another belly button. That's what it looks
when
like.
When it's removed. Now it's like it's a little plastic thing. You just open it up
and
you pump food right into the stomach.
No.
It's pretty amazing.
How? Like when you say pump food, is it a little tube you put in there and you're putting liquid in?
Hook a hose up to it and you can just let it drain in with gravity, or you can use an electric pump that just pumps the formula and breast milk right into the stomach.
That's how your daughter's had to eat?
That's how she has to eat. Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called a G tube. A gastronomy.
Like a gastrointestinal, yeah, whatever.
Something like that. A lot of these terms are.
And it goes where?
Right into the stomach, dude.
Right into like the intestine and stuff?
Or? No, right into the stomach.
Get the fuck
yeah,
out
you
of
just
here.
Drop it right in. So,
and then her body from there is good to process it and everything else.
Yeah, the stomach treats it just like you swallowed it.
So,
yeah.
Okay. In the old days,
she would have died.
Definitely died.
100%. Well, I think about when you mentioned that earlier, I was like, there's probably like 9 different times where my wife or baby would have died. I mean, even like 100 years ago.
Yeah, easily.
They weren't doing C-sections 100 years ago, I don't think.
I don't know. I
if they I'm were, lot, so they I'm were lot. Pretty risky.
Yeah, I would imagine they weren't.
I don't even think they were washing today. Hands 100 years ago. So not doing C-sections. And then, yeah, my baby would have just died because it wouldn't drink. And I wouldn't drink breast milk at all.
So she can swallow and everything now, though, right?
We're working on it. We've got like 4 or 5 different therapists that come to the house and help out with different things.
How old is she?
She's almost 6 months now.
Okay.
So we've got physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. Speech is the one who helps with drinking the bottle. So we're working on getting her
why to, speech on that?
I don't know why they call it that. I remember when they go, we're going to hook her up with some speech therapy. I go, I think it's a little early.
It's a lot early. Yeah, yeah.
She's not even smiling yet. But speech is just the all-encompassing term for everything with the mouth, I guess. So we try to do what we can through a bottle, and then we give the rest through the G-tube. So
like, let's say, how much of a bottle will she, you know, what little baby bottle? How
right
much?
Now, half 155 milliliters.
Yeah, you're on the milliliter.
Yeah, 155 milliliters is what we're shooting for every feed. So,
and then the rest goes through the tube.
No, 155 total. So we'll try maybe she'll take 65 through the bottle, and that's a good one.
Okay.
Then we'll give her 90 through the G-tube. So the goal, obviously, is we get to a point where she can take everything just through a bottle.
Orally.
Yeah, and we get that G-tube taken out. We never have to use it again.
And then she just has a little like belly button.
She's got a little second belly button there on her stomach. Yeah, for the rest of her life. But yeah, dude, it's a whole – these terms, it's like a whole world I knew nothing about. My family, we had no health issues, nothing like this growing up. And now you're just dropped in this world of – like medical equipment around the house and changing dressing on her, you know, all this stuff that you're just kind of thrown into. It's become part of the routine now. We're in a bit of a groove right now, but dude, at first it's like, it was so much. It was so overwhelming, all the stuff being thrown at you.
I mean, just being a new parent is overwhelming if everything goes perfect, you know, like that's overwhelming enough. And then you have to become a doctor now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, I'm not qualified for this shit.
I shouldn't be applying to have a real job.
Anybody. Yeah, I shouldn't be doing anything medical to anybody.
You know what the real tough part is of now is it's tough to, we can't get, because of all that, you can't really get like a normal babysitter. Because you'd have to train them on all this equipment and stuff. Even a lot of nurses don't know how to use the specific.
Is that right?
Yeah, like G-tube and pump that we have. So that makes it a little harder to find people to watch the baby. We've trained our in-laws and my parents know how to do it all. So my in-laws are there right now in Nashville, actually.
All good.
Helping out Lucy, taking care of the baby.
Good.
Yeah, man. I was thinking about this earlier because we don't know what the underlying issue is, but she's starting to kind of miss some milestones, some stuff, holding her head up, rolling over, stuff like that she's behind on. But now, like when she meets one of those milestones, it's unbelievable. It's like you really appreciate it, dude. Mm-hmm. You know, like no, we don't take anything for granted. So obviously we wish our daughter was perfectly healthy and not in pain and everything, but it really makes you appreciate the little thing. I remember the first time she took any of the bottle, it was like a miracle. You're like, oh my God.
Doesn't it also feel good to see it working too? Like your hard work is paying off and helping this kid.
Yeah.
And you're not just like, you're like, it's not working. You know what I mean? You're feeling helpless and
Yeah. She wasn't holding her head up for so long. And they're like, just keep doing tummy time. Keep doing tummy time. And you feel like nothing's happening. And then one day she just kind of held her head up. And we were like, oh my God.
They throw torticollis at you?
What is that?
Torticollis?
Torticollis.
I used to, only reason I remember what the fuck it's called is because they would try to tell us that our baby, when my daughter was born, like she would lean to one side, like, oh, her neck's. And I was like, oh, this is where the insurance and stuff comes out. She's got torticollis. And I'm like, what the fuck they call it? And the only reason I remember it is because it was $50 every session. And I used to sing to her and I go, cost $50 to fix your torticollis. I used to sing that to her all the time. So that's why I know what torticollis is. I'm like, this is some bullshit. This is some bullshit. I'm just going to move your neck over here. That's all I'm going to do. And then I did. And I got a circle pillow, you know, so her head didn't get the flat slope and all that, especially when your baby's laying a lot.
Yeah, they say when your baby's in the NICU for a long time, she's just on her back the whole time, right? So they got these special pillows that they can like reshape. Mm-hmm. So they position her head to try to alleviate some of that. But it looks like her head's – she's got a little misshapen
And I'm like, ah, she's
who
a girl.
Doesn't?
She's a girl, dude. Just get long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm looking at my own head and I'm like, yeah, oh, this hell is rough.
Yeah, dude. This is a smooth, perfect hair.
No.
Your siblings have kids?
Yeah. So,
and do any of them have health issues?
Yeah. So,
I'm just wondering if there's anything genetic that you're just, you know, maybe skipped your parents.
Maybe. And we talked about all that because once they call the genetics team in at the hospital, they ask you everything.
I bet. Yeah.
They ask you everything, dude. And then they'd get like a hunch and they'd come. I remember the guy came in. They have a bit of a reputation around the hospital as being like kooks because the joke is like, you met the genetics doctor. What'd he diagnose you with? Because, I mean, if you go crawling through anybody's DNA, you'll find we all got weird stuff going on, right? But like the genetics doctor would come in and be like, can I shake your hand? And like shake our hand and be like, okay. And then leave. And you're like, what was that about? Like he's he wanted to see like our grip strength or something.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
So my sister has five kids. My brother has four kids. So in the middle of all this,
how many fucking second cousins y'all have too? Shit.
I don't really. What is a second cousin?
I just watched the explanation on this.
Okay.
So our dad's first cousin.
Yeah.
Our dad, you're just his son.
Yeah.
Our dad's first cousin is our first cousin once removed.
Once removed.
That guy's cousin, or excuse me, kids are our second cousins.
Okay.
So it's first cousin once removed, then those kids are second cousins.
It's your parents' cousins' kids?
Yep, are second cousins. That's the way it was explained on this.
So removed is generations.
Right. It's still, even though it's not our first cousin, that guy is still a first cousin once removed a generation from us.
Yeah.
His kids are second cousins.
Okay, I probably got 300 of those.
Yeah, I'm saying you probably got a shitload.
I need to sit down and add it all up. Have you ever done like an ancestry?
No,
not me either.
I'm not putting my DNA out there and having anybody show up in my life all of a sudden.
You know what, man?
I'm not.
That was one of the – I'm usually resistant to that kind of thinking, but that was one of the things even in my brain I go – I don't know if I want to spit into a thing and give my DNA to a company. I don't know. And then it came out that they were selling all of it, and there was like a huge data breach.
Wait, right? Is that right?
23andMe, I think.
I didn't know there was a data.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I think when I hear this shit. I'm not giving you my DNA.
Yeah, but I would like to do – I would like to sit down and like have somebody do it just like paperwork.
Yes. Yes, you know, without having to get on a website and open yourself up to freaks and whoever out there. Yeah. I would love, yes.
What's
I've
that?
I've had the genetic testing. So I know I've got two diseases.
Uh-huh.
I've got one called Charcot-Marie tooth disease. Those are the doctors that discovered it. And I'm missing basically, it's pretty common, but I'm missing like a layer, and my brothers have it too, of muscle in our legs from the knees down. So my calves are a little bit twiggy. Instead of, I played soccer and sports my whole life. I should have tree trunk calves, but I'm missing a layer of muscle.
Wow.
So, and then also people who have it worse than me, like I have crazy high arches in my feet. My ankles sit back a little farther. So
that's all related to that?
It's all from that shit. Yep. And they say your legs look like inverted champagne bottles. That's exactly what they look like.
Wow.
You ever see that and you think, oh, that guy skipped leg day? He might have what I have. And then the other thing I found out at 42 that I have is a blood disease called factor 5 Leiden, and my blood is prone to clotting. And I'm lucky because I've now clotted twice under 50 and made it. But my dad died at 42. My grandma's 69. But everyone back then in the 80s, they're just telling you, oh, it was a heart attack. Everything was called a heart attack when you were young back then.
Uh-huh.
Now they're realizing that these younger people were probably actually victims of clots or something more like that. And I end up making it through this ordeal and getting these tests done and family tests done, finding out that the dead guy gave this shit to me. And I'm the only one in the family that has it.
Wow.
So now I got to
spread that to my daughter, because if she has it, then birth control is out, because that makes girls prone to clotting.
Wow.
Something like a bed rest, anything lying dormant will clot and kill.
Have you done the testing on that? Do you know if you're, did you pass that?
No, I haven't. I ain't passing it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I haven't done it for her.
Uh-huh.
So it's sort of controversial. Maybe that's not the right word, but the doctor said, like, look, you don't want to open that can of worms until we need to. Mm-hmm. So if you're considering at some point putting your daughter on birth control, I suggest testing then.
Okay.
If she's going to be, you know, but also I want to know, because if she gets into a car accident or something and is in bed for a month,
mm-hmm.
that can kill her, all because we didn't test. So it's coming, and she hates needles. So I'm not going to make her do it right now, because I'm like, that's the only way to do it. They're going to prick you or stab you.
Dude, I had, because we just did some, we just had some blood drawn for my daughter to do some of this genetic testing. And we get there, I'm holding her in my lap, and they can't find a vein on her arm. So they go, sorry, what we have to do is we have to prick her heel and kind of squeeze her foot and get the blood that way. So it takes like 5 minutes. She's screaming bloody murder in my lap, looking at me. You know that look your baby gives you, like you're just letting this happen. And they're draining just drop at a time. And they fill up one little vial of blood. And I go, are we done? And they go, we got 7 more of those to fill up. So
it was tough, dude.
Yeah, and she cried the whole time. And they got 8. I think they ended up getting 6 or 7 of these. And they're like, that's it. We're good. The next day they call and they go, the blood was damaged during transit. We got to do it again.
Nuh-uh.
So my wife and I are furious, dude. We're like, come on. Damaged during transit? Like, what? You lost it. You forgot to label it. Like, just tell us that. Anyway, so we have to go back in and do it again. And about 1 vial in, they go, her heel clotted up. We can't get blood from it. So the nurse goes, well, let's just go do a cheek swab.
No.
And I go, that was an option the whole time? You could just take a little Q-tip, put it on her cheek? So that's what they did. I mean, my wife and I were driving home. We were like, why is that not the first? It feels like what we did is the absolute last resort of what you have to do.
But and that you had to go through extremes to get the blood. It wasn't even a regular vein draw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they just took a Q-tip. So we're waiting.
And that was their third option?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Third.
Yeah. It's crazy, dude.
All that genetic testing stuff is. They said to me at one point, they're like, you know, we'll do a round of tests and we might get the results back and we don't have answers. And then you have a choice to make of like, do you want to keep looking? Or do you want to just chalk it up as like, we're all a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still waiting on the results back of that, the cheek swab that we did. And then we'll go from there. But I've been, you know, I've read up on every possible genetic disorder that our daughter could have. I've read it all. And one of the things they tell you is they go,
Stop reading this.
Yes. Yes.
Because your daughter's going to have 46 different diseases by the
100%.
Time.
100%. I've been convinced of
that
a few.
That one now. Yeah.
I've been convinced of so many. I look at her and I go, oh, you've got it.
How's our daughter?
Yeah. And then they tell you, I got really good advice from my sister. She said, what you should never do is when you land on a diagnosis, actual or possible, don't go look up pictures of kids with it, because you're only going to see your kid as that, you know what I mean? And like, you want to look at your kid as that's your baby. It's not, the disease is just something they have. You don't want to look at it as that's like part of them. So yeah, it's been stressful. I mean, we're still waiting to hear back about what it could be. It could be a range of things, you know.
Talk to me about the first day you finally get to actually drive your daughter home together.
Yeah. I remember it well. So we had to pass what's called a car seat test before we could take her home. We had to sit her in the car seat for 90 minutes hooked up to all the monitors and stuff. And then
they sat her in your car with monitors?
No. We brought the car seat up to
like, what? You're just out there like idling and shit. Like, I didn't fill up enough for this shit. What about all the exhaust my daughter's bringing?
We brought the – that's so funny.
I really said that thinking your door's open and there for 90 minutes. God damn.
Yeah. So
we – they got a lot out back for that?
We – I made – so by the end of it, when I felt like we're about to get her home, I was making a lot of jokes in the NICU. And I mean, I was bombing left and right in there. Nobody –
they hated you.
The big joke I have, and I'm trying to like talk about this on stage now, when that we brought the car seat into the room, we sat her in it. She passed the test. The nurse comes in and goes, "Oh, she passed. She's pretty comfortable in that car seat." And I go, "Yeah, she better be. That's her crib too." And she goes, "I know you're kidding. Legally, I have to tell someone you told me that." I was like, oh, brutal. So she had to tell like the charge nurse, and then they just came and made sure it was a joke.
Nah.
But that's the kind of by the end of it, I was feeling good. I was like, we're about to get her home. So yeah, dude.
There's a report. Somewhere. You said that somewhere. Yeah.
We're gonna need a follow up from some agency soon to make sure she's got a real crib. At the house.
Look, man, you're just making my day harder. I gotta go tell the charger she just said that shit. Okay, all right.
But it's like, and I've heard it from every parent, that moment where you're just like driving away with the baby was crazy.
It's terrifying.
It was insane.
Terrifying. I'm slowing down at green lights.
Dude.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I got my wife in the back. I go, is it too hot back there? I don't know. Is she choking in the car seat? It was crazy, dude. Especially after we've been given false hope so many times, like you can take her home tomorrow, and then we didn't. So by the end of it, I was convinced, like, man, maybe this won't happen. And then about 10 minutes later, like, she's just in the car.
Isn't it crazy also that, like, even if, again, your child's perfectly healthy, whatever that is, they just give you this person.
I know.
And they're like, good luck to you guys good out there in that far. Yeah.
Do you ever, this sounds like so mean, but you ever see, like, you get people in your lives that are like idiots that have kids. And you go, all right, well, if they can. Always. I thought about that all the time. I've
always litmus tested everybody that way. In my own mind, I'm like, if this motherfucker can do it, I know. Yeah. In college, I'm like, this guy's doing it. I know I can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, this dumb motherfucker's got four kids?
Yeah, he's actually like a good parent. I think I could. Yeah, I'll be unbelievable. Oh, maybe
he is dumb. He's got four of these motherfuckers. One of them's enough.
Yeah. It was pretty surreal. And we got, I mean, I drove, the most cautious I've ever driven. And then you bring her in the house and finally got to put her in the crib and everything. It was pretty, it was kind of a triumphant day. It felt like a real, and that's what I mean. Like a lot of the stuff that would have felt kind of, this is supposed to happen. Once that's taken from you or at least delayed, like when it happens, it feels like, wow, what a great thing. We got our baby here.
So how long were you guys together before you were engaged?
Oh, man, maybe 3 or 4 years.
And then how long were you married before you had the baby?
We got married May of 2021, had the baby September of 2024. So,
and you're lucky.
About 3 years, yeah.
It happened pretty quick, too. That's the other thing is, like, I talk about all the time on this show, like, you would think with the gazillions of people on this planet, it'd be so simple. Uh-huh. And it is if you don't want that baby. But when you're trying, there's a lot of complications and then other things happen. And it's just not as simple as you think it is.
And also just the constant worrying and thinking about it.
Tell me about how you watch Lucy, first of all, just as a girlfriend and then a wife. But now you're watching her just, I mean, do you marvel over like watching this lady take – put food in a fucking tube and I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You're signing on to something you don't even know you're signing on to. Totally. You don't know you're going to be doing that as a parent.
We were thinking about that on our first date. You know what I mean?
But even when you're pregnant, you're having good times and you're thinking about being a parent and whatever that is in your future trip down the road, what you don't think you're going to be a nurse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, or a fucking doctor putting a tube in your kid's stomach.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty special. It's pretty special. I remember I had a moment even during her pregnancy where she had the gestational diabetes, and there was a point where like anything she ate would spike her blood sugar. And it basically told her the only way to get that blood sugar back down, you got to go on a walk or something. But she's in pain. She can't walk much. So what I did was I got a
a little walking pad, a little treadmill, and I put it up in the living room, and I set it up in front of the TV, and I put a chair on either side, and then if her blood sugar spikes, you'd have to walk on this treadmill to get the blood sugar back down. And I did have a moment where I looked at her. She's super pregnant, and she's struggling to walk on this treadmill to get her blood sugar back down. And I remember thinking, like, I will – like, this kid better not ever disrespect her in some crazy way. Because mm-hmm. this is like, this is unbelievable what she's doing for this baby that we haven't even really met yet, but is still already so loved in all these ways. Yeah, you have a lot of moments like that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot about you're Saving Private Ryan, the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end when Tom Hanks grabs Matt Damon and he says, earn this, earn this, earn what we've all done for you. Like, you're going to have that moment with my daughter at one point, like, earn what your mom did for you. Because it was 9 months of a tough pregnancy and then, you know, 3 weeks of hell for her, essentially. So, like, you got to, you know, earn this. I think about that a lot.
Now, how about your parents? Good grandparents? Are they stoked on it?
They're stoked. It's my in-laws' first grandkid.
Their first one.
Okay. Yeah, they're very excited. It's mine. Parents,
Eleven, all hat for their ass. I exactly. Guess. Yeah. What took you so long?
Exactly. Yeah, my mom's retired now, so she's full time grandkid. So she loves mapping out the year, going, I'll go spend a week with those grandkids and help out. And so she's hopping around. She's going to be at our house for a week or two coming
That's
up
good.
Soon.
All right.
Yeah, it's the best, dude. Just having them there to do, even just to like, just hold the baby, let me go do something real quick, stuff like that.
I know it's a lot. It's 6 months in and everything, but are you? Would you have another? Would you think of it? Would you consider it? Would Lucy? I mean, it's her body going through this
shit. Yeah.
It's easy for us again.
We genuinely have not thought that far ahead yet because there's still so much up in the air about what our daughter's life is going to look like and what our life is going to look like moving forward. So I think once we have a better understanding of that, we can start to talk about that. But we genuinely have not had a conversation. But we love it. And I mean, we talk about it all the time. Like, it's pretty crazy. You didn't know you could, like, love and care about something so much as – yeah.
Also, that's what I wanted to ask you next is how impressed are you with yourself? Because that's a – you don't know you can love and – take care of something either.
Yeah.
Look, my daughter was healthy, but at one, I split with her mom and I'm a new dad still. And I'm a new single dad at 1 year old. Wow. I have this kid myself.
That's
when she's with me for 50% of the time, insane, I'm doing it all myself. And I look back now, like a photo pop up 10 years ago. And I'm like, how the fuck did I do that?
Yeah.
How did I take that little tiny ass baby?
Yeah.
Razor. Do right by her, feed her, clothe her, get her here on time, there on time, like be this responsible person. How the fuck did I do it?
Yeah.
You blow yourself away with that. And then on top of it, you're doing all the medical stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. I haven't really taken a step back and thought about all
that's
that.
That's because you're in it. You know?
We're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I didn't either. It took a photo pop-up thing for me to go,
yeah,
I did that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You don't even realize how little they are, too. And then you look back, you're like, oh, my God.
Dude, we're doing that for 6 months where we see old pictures and we're like, golly, dude. First of all, she's not as cute as I remember her being that first week. I remember in earnest having a conversation with my wife being like, it's crazy. Like, our baby's like the cutest one of the whole NICU. Like, these other babies. And now I look, you know, you're like, oh, she looked like any other baby. But, you know, I think about with golf. Do you play golf at all? Mm-hmm. I don't really. I play every now and then. But it was so intimidating to me to start because I knew I'd be horrible. And in your head, you think everybody at the golf course is good at golf. They've been doing this forever. And then I showed up to like a public course.
Oh, yeah. I've done that enough.
I go, dude, everybody sucks.
Yeah.
None of us know what we're doing out here. And that's what parenthood feels like to me. There's nobody who's like, I know exactly what I'm doing all the time. I've got all the answers.
Well, here's the thing I was going to say to you, too. Like, everyone's parenting is set. It's their set. How am I trying to say this? It's what they have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, your parenting doesn't apply to my kid because my kid isn't
have the issue. Yeah.
And vice versa. I always say to anybody, they're like, do you have any advice? Yes. Listen to everyone and listen to no one.
Yeah.
Whatever works for right. you, your wife, your family, your unit, your whatever you get. Some people work graveyard shifts.
Yeah.
That fucking life is different for
totally.
Somebody. Like,
totally.
Whatever works best for you and your unit that is healthy and good for everybody is what you do.
Yeah.
And that advice does not apply to every single parent out there
yeah.
at all. You know, like, yeah. that's what I always say. Don't listen to anybody.
Yeah, get through the day.
Hear it all.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, figure out what works for you.
Uh-huh.
And then someone's going to be like, what advice do you have? And you're like, I don't know. Do you ever have to feed your, does your kid have a second belly button? Have you been in a public pool staring at little boys' belly buttons from a distance
yeah.
intently? Have you done that? Granted, yeah. you can only do it once.
Yeah.
Twice is the problem.
Well, my wife's in all these Facebook groups with other moms.
That's
and
the
stuff,
other thing
they didn't have back then either. Yeah. You just knew a neighbor, and you're like, "Well, Linda does this." Uh-huh. You're like, "Well, fuck Linda, man! But Linda don't know what the fuck she's doing." Well,
I don't even, dude. My parents will come to the house, and you know, there's just all kinds of technology and things that we have now that they did not.
Oh yeah.
And my parents are trying to wrap their head around this tech. I just got a baby monitor that will like. Text me if something covers the baby's face.
I didn't even have that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this is like, I think it's all pretty new even now.
That's
but I'm
crazy.
But like explaining this to my parents, who, dude, I slept like in a crib on my stomach with stuffed animals and like all the stuff they tell you not to do.
I found an old picture of me in the crib and I'm like, there's 10 things in this crib that shouldn't be in here. It could kill my ass.
Yeah.
And I'm getting, you know, you can't have the mesh net or you got to, it was the bumper, baby bumpers
can't
got
have
recalled.
The bumper now.
And it was mesh before so they could breathe through it. Now it's no bumper, I believe. Oh, like yeah. No bumper. Yeah, they went mesh for a minute.
No blanket, no pillow, literally just the baby.
Yep.
Yeah. So all that's new. My parents don't know about any of this stuff. So that's kind of fun seeing them see all this.
But also,
stuff.
Too, what is it called that your daughter has again?
So a G-tube is okay. the equipment that she uses.
Imagine just in the 80s. Or the early 90s.
Yeah.
You're the only people in the neighborhood that has a kid with a G-tube. Now your wife can go get on a Facebook group and there's 20 people that have dealt with this and they already did. And exactly. they can tell you this and this and this.
And we've already, in the area, we've already met up and met some of these other mm-hmm. parents and stuff.
And you would have, they could all, back in the 80s, they're all in the area.
Yeah.
You would have never known it.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're right there with answers and help and all. That's great.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Great. And we've had a couple, like we ran out of some equipment and I had to drive like 45 minutes outside of the city to go pick up like some special tape from this random person my wife met on Facebook. So there is this little community mm-hmm. of like, we're all going through the same thing, which is kind of fun. I don't like being in those groups though.
I don't
like reading. They put pictures of their kids. Some of these kids are so banged up. It's tough to look at. So I just, my wife's in there.
Well, dude, I'm glad everything's going well.
Yeah.
Right now.
We're getting there, man. I appreciate it. It feels like there are, we've had really great days and it's like, I remember thinking, not knowing if we would have those. Mm-hmm. You know, days. And now it's like things are going well. So it's awesome, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me. This is the first time I've kind of talked about any of this stuff. So I hope it kind of made sense.
It totally
what
makes
we're
sense.
Dealing with.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, advice you'd give 16-year-old Aaron Weber. Let's hear it.
Dude, I wish I would have not been afraid to take things seriously.
What do you
mean? Because I feel like, you know, that part of you that and I still have, and I think it's good to have a little bit. Whenever you do something like sincerely, there's a little part of you that's like, this is stupid and lame. I had a lot of that in high school. And that I think that prevented me from doing like taking things seriously. I think about that sometimes.
Because your friends would be like, you're fucking gay.
100%. Yeah. Hey, dude, yeah, it's a lot of that.
Yeah. It's over here what I'm thinking in my head. I think I know what he means.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I wish I would have just been like, allowed yourself to be softer, kinder, and gentler without all those worrying kind of things. About other idiots calling you.
But you need a little bit of that or else you become a nightmare. Mm-hmm. You need a little bit of a guy going, all right, shut up.
Yeah.
You're being lame. And the other thing is like I was just thinking about this actually too. Like I worked really hard in high school to get to the college I wanted to go to. Notre Dame is where I ended up.
Oh, wow. Going.
So by the time I got to Notre Dame, I was not working hard at all. But I guess I would have focused more on relationships with people versus like achievements and success in a lot of ways. I would have focused more on relationships because I've got probably only a handful of friends from high school that I still talk to that I'm like close with or see once a year. And I know that's not the case for a lot of guys. They still hang out with a lot of guys from high school. So I wish I'd have focused more on relationships
with and people. Not achievement. That's the first time I've heard that on here. And yeah, I'm resonating with that a little bit. No, I mean, that's great. Dude, thank you for doing this.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Please promote everything and anything you'd like. You're special.
You got a special out now. It's fun. It's not like what I've been talking about. Signature dish. It's on YouTube. It's on Nate Bargatze's YouTube. He produced the special. He put it out. So go check that out. Signature dish at Real Aaron Weber on all social media. AaronWeberComedy.com for all my tour dates. Thank you, dude. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Come see me on tour. Tickets are at my website, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.